in my businesses, but all the hundreds of client accounts as well. It takes into account those rule sets combined with AI and will optimize the bid over time so that it gets more profitable.
Welcome to the 10K Collective podcast for 6, 7, and 8-figure Amazon and e-commerce sellers, part of the amazing FBA podcast family. If you want to scale fast, target a 7-figure exit, and enjoy the process, then keep listening. Do you want to grow your business bigger and faster? A free audit of your Amazon business can help you see and avoid threats and find missed golden opportunities. I generally charge $150 or more per hour, but this would be free. You can be a reseller or a brand owner. All I ask is that you're doing a few thousand dollars a month in sales already. Just visit myamazonaudit.com, scroll down, click on Amazon Audit, and book in a time. That's myamazonaudit.com. Look forward to speaking to you on your audit. Okay. Ladles and jelly spoons, boys and girls, welcome back to the 10K Collective podcast for 6, 7, and 8-figure Amazon sellers. Today, we are talking to Kusha Kavandi of GoKazam.com, and their particular thing they specialize in is reducing your Amazon ad spend without losing sales, which is the absolute key. So, Kusha, welcome back to the show. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, great for having me.
So if you run an Amazon Mastermind, as I have done since September 2017, there is no topic that doesn't come around more often than why are my ad costs going up and what the hell am I going to do about it? So where in your experience you run agencies, so you have got an overview across many different ad costs for different businesses, as well as having, I think, exited three of your own businesses. Where would you say ad costs are going currently? What's your sort of take on that?
Yeah, ad costs just continue to go up every single year. I mean, we've seen this in every platform, Facebook, Meta, and the Google, and pretty much every platform that can find Amazon. But Amazon specifically, I have seen the PPC costs every single year just keep going up. And I think part of this is because there's a lot more competition. These competitors are coming into the space, especially a lot of Chinese competitors coming in and just flooding the market with a lot of these commoditized items and just taking a lot of market share away. The other big aspect too is that you notice in the past when you would search for a certain keyword on Amazon, you'd only see a few sponsored items at the top of the page. Now it's like half the page is sponsored. So a lot of the real estate is pushing more and more towards sponsored and towards paid placement, which I think is only going to grow. Obviously, that's Amazon's benefit. And if you think about Amazon's agenda, Amazon needs to make sure their stock price continues to go up. So they're going to find ways to increase profitability. And we've already seen they've made some changes in seller fees and inbound placement fees and all this stuff. So they're charging you fees if you don't have enough inventory now. Before it was if you had too much and oversupply. Now, if you don't have enough inventory at FBA, they start charging you fees. So I believe that over time, they're going to find more and more creative ways to get some fees out of the sellers. And PPC is one way that they've been doing. And I think they're going to continue to do it. They're going to raise the cost. The bids are going to go up. And that makes it really difficult if you're trying to enter a market and you're like, okay, how am I going to be competitive here? Should I just accept being upside down for a year before I can make money? that can be a realization for many sellers and they're trying to enter the marketplace. And that's why a lot of sellers don't enter. Either they prevents them from getting into a certain category altogether, or they give up because after like 3 months, they're like, wow, with like 150% aid costs, this isn't working.
Yes, it's a bit disheartening, I've got to say. And yes, all the things you're saying just mirror that everything everyone else has been saying. Okay, so assuming that we know it's going to keep going up, so how on earth do we control these ad costs? What's the basic approach that you have?
Yeah, so I mean, the best approach is you want to have basically a two-pronged approach. You want to make sure that you're doing things to optimize your Amazon SEO so that your products are ranking higher organically in search so that over time you can rely less and less on PPC. I think you still want to have some type of evergreen sponsored product campaign going regardless, because I do think PPC, especially with the way AI is playing a role in Amazon's algorithm for search, I think that PPC is going to play a larger and larger role in maintaining ranking. So even though in the past you could rank a product to the top of the page and stay there and not really have to really ever run ads, I think now over time, if you did that, you would lose your rankings if you weren't running ads. And it also helps just with overall just brand recognition. When the customer sees your product in multiple places, if they see your brand at the top and with a headline search ad, as well as sponsored product ads, as well as a video ad or display ad, when they see that product multiple times, it gives it more credibility and it looks like it's a bigger player in the space. They're more likely to buy from you. So I think that in the long run, definitely to answer your question, the organic rankings and thinking about how do I get my product organically ranked will help you offset that cost so you can reduce some of your bids so you're not spending as much.
Yeah, it makes sense. And by the way, once again, although within the segment, if you like, where you're saying optimizing organic SEO is really important, however, you are going to still need to spend PPC even if you didn't in the past, which once again, sadly, means that if you've got a really thin margin product, you may, as we were saying in the last episode with review funnels, you may want to reconsider whether you can introduce some upsells or at least more expensive products where you can have the margin to play with PPC, right? So you're saying the two-pronged approach on controlling ad costs. One is optimizing Amazon organic SEO. I'm guessing that the second one would be optimizing the ads, but tell us more.
Yeah, so the ideal way is you'd either want to have somebody managing your ads, and that should be their primary focus. I think a lot of Amazon sellers kind of try to wear every hat, which I think in the beginning you have to do. It's fine. But over time, you want to find a way to outsource that. So whether that be having someone, an agency run it, or person run it, or a software to run it, you want to have something dedicated and focused on that. Software, I find, obviously, is going to be better. Like we found with AI, in many cases, we're finding that AI can do a better job than most humans on many tasks. It's getting better and better with regard to copywriting, creatives, even coding. It's doing all kinds of crazy things. So I find that software can be very, very valuable to, even if it's not, if you're not using software by itself to just solely run your PPC, but as an adjunct to help you run it, to help you so you can basically oversee the software and what it's doing, but the software is doing the heavy lifting. Because over time, what happens is when you start expanding all these different campaigns, it becomes very, very difficult to do it manually, to go in there and keep track. And let's say you're running, for example, a phrase match or broad match campaign where you're basically running these, let's say, sponsored product campaigns where you're targeting a phrase match of a certain keyword or a broad match of a keyword. You're going to see the performance of the actual customer search terms in that campaign. So when you go and look in that campaign in your advertising dashboard, it's going to show you not only the keyword performance, but it will actually show you the actual customer search terms that converted, and it will show you the keyword, the root keyword that came from that. And so what I like to do is go and look at that over time. And then every so often, you'll want to go in and take those converted customer terms and then go put them back in and add them as either an exact match or phrase match search term. So you want to go put that in a separate campaign and target that. So that can be very difficult to do if you're running many, many campaigns for different ASINs, and especially if you're busy with other things in your business, it's difficult to do manually, but software can automate all of that for you.
Okay. So you sound like you have a lot of faith in software. I guess as somebody who runs a SaaS, that makes sense. And certainly I would say, it's interesting, I had a more general discussion with somebody who'd been in the US Navy as an armed, what do you call it, ship captain. And he was talking about that he was the shipboard, I think they call it the naval intelligence officer, so dealing with vast amounts of data in obviously a safety critical environment. And it feels a bit like being in a war zone metaphorically as an Amazon seller. And he was saying that AI and computer systems are great at synthesizing data from an overwhelm of data, but he's a fan of humans being involved in the sort of decision making. So what's your take on the human involvement? Where should that kick in, even if you're using software?
Yeah, I think you still need to be monitoring it. I don't think anything with Amazon, it should never be a set it and forget it approach, which I think a lot of sellers kind of make that mistake of like, okay, hey, this is converting pretty well. I'm just going to set it and forget it. And then I'll check on it every now and then. And as long as the performance looks decent, then I don't really need to worry about it. And you don't really want to do that. You still want to have some type of oversight over it. Even if it's just at a minimum, if you're using software, just check the dashboard every day. Just go log in, make sure it's performing correctly. Everything's meeting your expectations. And the beauty is a lot of these softwares, they will provide a summarized report for you. So you can see everything at a glance. You don't have to go granularly and go look at every single campaign. You can see at a glance. Even the Amazon Advertising Console, it does summarize for you what basically the performance of it. If you're doing things from a manual standpoint, I highly recommend utilizing portfolios in your advertising dashboard. Portfolios is a way to basically kind of categorize your campaigns. Like maybe you want to categorize it by ASIN or by a certain objective. And that way it allows you to see the performance overall of that portfolio versus like if you go to your campaign dashboard in Amazon and in the advertising dashboard, it's going to show you all your campaigns. And so that overall performance, that overall ROAS or ACoS may not, it may be a little misleading because what will happen is it'll be skewed. If you have a lot of campaigns for a wide variety of products that are not all in the exact same space or they're all the same, then you're going to see some that are with a super, super high ROAS. And you're going to have some, you might have several with a really, really poor performance and a low ROAS and maybe upside down. They're, you're not as visible when you're looking at the overall dashboard. So it is good to try to split that up and categorize it as best you can so you can get a good sense of how everything's performing.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess what we're talking about is that middle ground between like one big block number that you get from Amazon for or your entire Amazon advertising, which is so generous to be a bit meaningless, unless you're selling your business or such a general figure, even then, if the person buying it has got any sense, they'll analyze what's going on. And then the sort of overly granular campaign by campaign, which might be hundreds at least, right, and not thousands. And that's the middle ground, whether it be a portfolio or a software, sounds like the way to go. And I agree with that. So it's granular enough to be meaningful, but so high enough level to not have your brain explode, right? That's sort of more or less where we're at. So give us a few hacks or tips on how do we actually reduce ad spend whilst keeping the sales the same? Because that is the sort of gold standard, isn't it? That's hard, that we're all aiming at. How do you go about doing that? What are the tactics for that?
Yeah, so there's a few things you can do. You can set rule sets in like some of these softwares. You can't really do this in Amazon. Amazon will let you set budget rules, so you can set rules for your budget. But what you really want ideally is rule sets for bids at the bid level. And you want to set rule sets so that when your ASIN basically reaches a certain target, whether it be, let's say, ACoS, number of clicks without sales, things like that, then you'd want to go in and have that automatically reduce the bid by a certain percentage. So for example, maybe every 7 days you have the software go in and reduce bids by 20% if you got at least 8 clicks and no sales. Or maybe every 30 days, they call this the look back period. The data, the software will look back over the previous 30 days and any single keyword that got at least 8 clicks and no sales or 10 clicks and no sales, you maybe say, let's turn that keyword off or reduce the bid by 50%.
Do you want to grow your Amazon business bigger or faster? I bet you do. If so, a free audit of your Amazon business can help you see and avoid threats and find some golden missed opportunities. Generally, I charge at least $150 an hour these days for my time, but this is free. You can be a reseller or a brand owner. All I ask is that you're doing at least a few thousand dollars a month in sales. If you are, just go to myamazonaudit.com, scroll down, click on Amazon Audit and book in a time and we'll see each other on a Zoom call. That's myamazonaudit.com. Thank you very much for listening and I hope to see you on a call soon.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that's based on sort of, you're still going to have to make a human decision, aren't you? Because the number of clicks that you have, I mean, if you have a conversion rate of 5% and you've only had 10 clicks, you could argue it's not statistically significant. But that's what a data scientist would say. On the other hand, it's your money going out the door without making sales. So you've got to decide how big your risk tolerance is and what your budget is, how much you can afford to bleed and your margins and your cash flow and so on, right? It's a nuanced decision. But at least it's based on a rule, which means you can scale it without going crazy. And also, I think one of the reasons that AI can perform better than humans, although I'm not convinced that's true in all cases all the time, and even a SaaS person would say that, I guess, is because there's a lot of inconsistency in human behavior, and AI is a computer system. Ultimately, whilst it may produce some inconsistencies, it's more rule-based than human behavior, right? But that's a question of business discipline more than computers in the ideal world, I would say. So in theory, you could do it manually as well, I would say. But the rule is the key. And I like that a lot. And I think deciding how many clicks you have without sales is actually a really hard thing to do, isn't it? Do you have a sort of rule of thumb for that? How do you get around that sort of decision?
Usually, I would say the thresholds are like 5, 8, and 10 clicks. Those are kind of what I look at. If it has 5 clicks and no sales, I want to reduce that bid by at least 10%. If it's got 8 clicks, no sales, probably 20%. If it's got 10 clicks, no sales, maybe 50%. You want to bring that down.
That's a great rule of thumb. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And presumably that's based on some kind of statistics from across your organizations as well, right? Okay, great. Good. That's really, really good. What other ways can we lower our ad spend without reducing sales?
Yeah. So the other way, this would be a more manual way, but you could use a software such as, like, let's say Helium 10, just to track your rankings, or you could do it manually, but it's way easier to use something like Helium 10, just track your ranking position on Amazon to see where your ASIN is ranking. And as your product goes to, let's say you start with your campaign at a higher bid, you can even amplify that bid. So let's say you amplify it with what's called a bid multiplier for top of search. So if you put, let's say, 100% bid multiplier, then your bids will be double, up potentially as high as double whatever your actual bid is. If you're bidding $1, it may actually cost you $2 to show up top of search for that keyword. And so if your goal is ranking, which most people it is, like we talked about over the long haul, you want to try to rank to reduce costs. You would monitor that ranking until it got basically to the bottom of page one. And then from there, then maybe you might deploy some other tactics. You could either continue to do PPC, or what I like to do is start deploying basically a multifaceted approach, multi-pronged approach, where now I'm doing Google ads as well, a little bit of Google ads, not a ton, but just a little bit of that, maybe some TikTok ads, something just to drive some external traffic, because we know Amazon really loves those social signals coming from these credible sources, and try to send some traffic at the same time there to get you to the top of page one. And then once you get to the top of page one, then you can start cutting your bid back. You can cut that bid cost back by maybe 50%, maybe even more. And you can experiment. You can start cutting it back and every week, maybe cut it a little more and see how it impacts your sales. If your sales haven't gone down at all, then you're going to see, hey, wait, I didn't really even, now that I'm ranking, I don't need to spend as much. I don't need to be as visible for that ad. But now that I'm ranking for that same keyword, because now it's kind of duplicative, it's a little bit redundant. And as Amazon sellers, what we want to avoid is paying Amazon twice. We're already paying them referral fees. I don't want to pay them PPC costs if I'm already showing up organically for that same keyword.
Nice. Yeah, that makes sense. I have seen clients before had the cojones to actually turn all their ad spend off on all of their bestsellers, which was pretty radical. And what they discovered is, as you kind of expect, this is for things that generally ranked very, very well. They were good at, if they had a bestseller, it generally ranked top 2 or 3 for relevant keywords. And they discovered some of them started dropping quite quickly. Some of them didn't at all. So they just didn't bother to turn those back on. Now, this was a few years ago, so I'd imagine that the level a PPC spend to just maintain might be higher now, as you said. But nevertheless, that's a sort of very radical version of the same thing. I would prefer to see somebody cut something 10% and then monitor, and then cut 10% and monitor. Now, normally being radical isn't that great an idea. Risky. If he had external shareholders and he'd done that, I think they might have just fired him as CEO, but he co-owns the business, so he could do that. So don't go and do that at home, folks, but the 10% a week and then monitor sounds like a great way of doing it. Well, look, there's lots of things that I guess you could give us. Are there any other sort of juicy tactics for reducing ad sales? We've had a couple already. Sorry, ad spend, I should say, while not losing sales. Can you give us one more?
Yeah, I would say the other big thing is again, deploying more creatives. Like UGC works really well, user-generated content. So you could go to, like, let's say, like Upfluence. It's a little bit on the pricey side with Upfluence. Maybe, like, I think it's minimum like $300 a month or something for Upfluence. Yeah. But this gives you a tool to be able to easily find and reach influencers on any platform. And then what you can do is not only make them affiliates for your product to drive traffic, but at a minimum, you can get a lot of inexpensive creatives, maybe $50. That's typically what I'll spend, $50, maybe $100, which is way cheaper than a lot of these other sites like Billow or whatever it may be. It's much cheaper to get these creatives through there. And then what I'll do is I'll take those creatives that UGC, I'll run it through a tool called Submagic. I think it's submagic.io, which automatically, like, uses AI to add subtitles to it in a creative way. So it's a little more engaging and eye-catching, since a lot of people may not be using audio or turning on their audio. A lot of customers won't when they're viewing these ads. So you have those subtitles baked in, but you could take those creatives and then you can go run them as video ads on Amazon. And I found that can work really well. Even just simply uploading those creatives to your listing obviously works really well in the carousel, in the main carousel images, as well as the A+, but definitely running it as like a sponsor brand video ad, especially like top of search. You have the ability now to run top of search video ads. I think that works really, really well.
Yeah, it makes sense that the more engaging the ads are, the more likely you are going to be to get the click. That doesn't necessarily give you a lower cost of ads overall, but certainly getting them into the main listing should help your conversion rate, which means the overall ad spend percentage goes down. So the flip sides of each other, aren't they? I think people forget that. They worry about cutting ad spend. I'm like, yeah, the ad spend is a percentage of your sales, is a function of conversion rate. So you drive 20 clicks and you get half of them to convert. You don't really need to worry about your ad spend unless your margins are terrible, right? But if you get one in 20 to convert, you have a conversion problem. So I think what you're touching on there, any other things I should have asked you before you wrap this one up? Because I know we've got to head on to other things, but
just that last part that you're talking about, conversion plays a big role, because when Amazon's assessing the bid algorithm, they're taking into account conversion. So if they see a seller who if they don't believe your product is that relevant, they may not display you at all, or you may be paying a higher click. What I've found experientially is my costs have gotten better as my product was more relevant and converting really well. So if you can make sure that those keywords are in your listing, your product is relevant for that keyword, you're not targeting things too broadly. And then also the other thing, Amazon really likes selling multiple units. Like if you look at your business report dashboard detailed by ASIN, it'll show you that your conversion rate is not called conversion rate. It's called unit per session. Amazon wants to move units. So if you can put incentives to get customers to buy multiple units, if that makes sense, like putting discounts, promotional discounts, if people buy two or more units, three or more units and so forth, then I believe what will happen over time is your product will not only rank much higher organically in general for all your relevant keywords, but I think your PPC costs will get a little bit better as well, because you're going to convert with a higher unit per session percentage, because each customer is buying multiple units rather than one unit.
Yeah. And by the way, this is nothing new in pay-per-click advertising, right? So Amazon is beginning to implement it's generally followed Google, right? For the last 10 years that I've seen. And yeah, Google has the quality score. So really, if you're offering a pretty cool quality browsing experience to a Google ads person who clicks on a Google ad, they're going to make you pay more money, because on the one hand, you're helping their coffers because you're paying them more money, but that's discounted for that you're damaging their brand slightly by having a crapper browser experience, right? And I guess that Amazon has got exactly the same payoff. On the one hand, it's got to keep the shareholders happy, so more profit is happier shareholders. On the other hand, it's got to keep customers happy and more relevant results, happier customers, right? So a lot of this stuff ends up, as you said in the beginning, it sort of ends up getting driven by some quite simple things that are foreseeable. Like you're on somebody else's platform. What does Amazon want? It wants money and wants happy customers. So a lot of it comes down to that. I mean, I'm a very reductionist guy. Obviously, you've got a more sophisticated approach. Do tell us a little bit more about what services you offer, because obviously you do have a SaaS that is for advertising cost management and driving effective ads. Tell us a little bit more about that, GoKazam.
Yeah, so our website is gokazam.com, and basically our software Kazam is designed to do all of this in an automated fashion. So everything I talked about, the software uses all these rule sets that are built on my experience and everything that I was doing manually for not only my businesses, but all the hundreds of client accounts as well. It takes into account those rule sets combined with AI and will optimize the bid over time so that it gets more profitable. And one of the unique things that it does that no other software does is that it takes into account your ASIN's position in search. So as your product ranks higher organically in search over time, your bid costs will come down. Your bid cost per click will come down. So your profitability will go up. So you don't have to do any of this manually. You don't need to be tracking your ASIN where it is and then go back in and reduce your bid. You don't need to do any of that. Software will do all of that automatically for you.
Nice. And that's a very commonsensical thing to build in there. What are these other rules? I mean, I presume that the stuff we discussed today is sort of basis for the rules that you built in. Are there any other sort of rules that you find your customers find useful?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the rule sets are related to basically performance of the clicks, also impressions. If it's not getting a certain number of impressions, then I might raise the bid cost to try to push those keywords to get some impressions. A lot of it's based on, some of it I do based on day parting. So there's some ability to go in there in the software. And then if I'm finding a lot of the sales are coming in, let's say in the morning, then I might have the ads automatically reduce bids in the middle of the day or turn off completely in the middle of the day or for the remainder of the day. So that could be very, very useful. Or on certain days, maybe you're like, what, on the weekends, the ad performance is a little bit different or not as good. So I'm going to turn it off for the weekend. So the day parting feature can be very, very useful.
Yeah, I know quite a few people are starting to find that pretty powerful as well. So I guess if people want to check that out, they can go to GoKazam, KAZAM.com/AmazingFBA. That's been very useful insights today, Kusha. Anything else that you think we should know about PPC and ad cost reduction?
No, I think that's it. I think we covered it today.
Great. Well, look, it just remains for me to say, Kushik Avandi from gokazam.com. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Do you want to grow your Amazon business bigger or faster? I bet you do. If so, a free audit of your Amazon business can help you see and avoid threats and find some golden missed opportunities. Generally, I charge at least $150 an hour these days for my time, but this is free. You can be a reseller or a brand owner. All I ask is that you're doing at least a few thousand dollars a month in sales. If you are, just go to myamazonaudit.com, scroll down, click on Amazon Audit and book in a time, and we'll see each other on a Zoom call. That's myamazonaudit.com. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope to see you on a call soon.
Thanks for listening to the 10K Collective podcast for six and seven figure Amazon sellers. I really hope you found the show helpful to you. Please don't forget to subscribe to the show. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, please do leave us a quick star rating. It will take you all of 30 seconds to do it, but it does mean we can be found by and help many more e-commerce business builders. I wish you fast and profitable scaling, and I hope you enjoy the process of building your seven-figure Amazon business. Thanks very much for listening.